We're very blessed in the studio here tonight to have two extremely talented, nationally known musicians, bluegrass musicians, who are up for the Bluegrass Masters event. It's the 19th annual at Lutzen Resort, happening this weekend, both Fridays and Saturdays. We have Rob Ikes, and Rob has been named a Dobro Player of the Year record 10 times by the International Bluegrass Music Association. And also Mike Compton, who probably best known for to most of you listeners, because we all know, just about everybody knows the Oh Brother, Who Art Thou movie. He was part of that soundtrack. He's also been playing with the Nashville Bluegrass Band. They've won a couple of Grammys and two Entertainers of the Year, and also some vocal awards. Rob also a part of a couple of Grammy-winning recordings, one with Alison Krauss. You know, I could keep going here quite a long time, what these guys have accomplished. But we want to thank, welcome Rob and Mike into our studio. Thank you guys for showing up here tonight.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
After a long drive from Minneapolis to get here just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we didn't see a thing either. It was pretty foggy.
Yeah, foggy.
They say
and dark.
It's pretty up here, but I've seen this pavement.
I know you're going back on Sunday, and I promised you some good weather to see the lake and to get an idea where you are. We've been listening, Bob and I have been listening to you guys kind of warm up and fascinated with those instruments. The Dobro, we've had a couple of those in previously in the studio, but I don't know that, obviously haven't had a master like yourself here, Rob, with one of those in your hands. Can you tell the folks out in the audience a little bit about your instrument and how it differs in how you play?
Yeah, the Dobro is actually a brand name that's become a generic term like Kleenex. They were invented, they were trying to make acoustic guitars louder, so they put this metal resonator on top of a guitar. So it's basically a guitar with a metal resonator for a big sound hole in the middle of the body. And then I play where the guitar is laid flat, which is kind of a Hawaiian style, and I play with a slide in my left hand. So so that's sort of the, the thing I like about it is the tone that happens when you mix that metal resonator with the wood body of the guitar. It's just sort of this neat,
it's kind of a comforting sound when you run all the way across those.
Yeah. It's just a neat, I still enjoy, you know, the sound of a Dobro. It's just a neat tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of the history of it in a nutshell. It was invented in the late 20s, and people play them in blues and bluegrass and country and all kinds of music now.
And Mike brought in a mandolin, a little smaller instrument, but how does that differ? You know, we think of a fiddle and, violin and fiddle and violin, but what makes up a mandolin?
Well, in the Deep South, they call us a sissy guitar.
I see. Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up.
I was just sitting there listening to what Rob did. The first thing, it sounded like the introduction to the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, woo! Mandolin, this one here, it's built more off the violin principle. It's not the European, the Neapolitan kind of round back. It's tuned the same as a violin or a fiddle, but the strings are tuned in pairs. The eight is just to give it more power, so you get, and it makes it stronger. That's all. I mean, but it's tuned exactly the same as a fiddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because it's in fours, and they both, the pairs have the same sound, then you really have four strings, essentially, as far as the sound goes.
Yes.
Does that alter the way that you play, or you just have to?
Some people play by splitting the string, and it doesn't alter the way that I play it, because I play them as pairs and play them as one note each, but some people can do it this way. I'm louder all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We were waiting to make sure that, you know.
This is as loud as I get.
Okay.
Some people can have the dexterity to play so that, and they play one with their fingernail and split it like that.
Wow.
So you can get two notes, or you can tune them openly as Rob's instrument is tuned in a chord. This can be tuned in a chord, except you get the benefit of tuning the pairs separately rather than being in the same note, and that provides a lot of interesting problems.
Yeah. I'm looking at those strings and they're pretty close together. I don't know how you do that. You know, and you got two sounds there. It'd be something.
I don't know if anybody plays a mandolin myself.
Now, how did you guys get together as far as this performance or other performances? Do you play together often?
Well, this is actually our first show together, I think. But I've known Mike for a long time, been a big fan of his. And we got together, I know what it was, last year. We were both on a tour called the Bluegrass All-Stars. And it was a conglomeration of a bunch of really great players and singers in bluegrass music, and we played several weekends last winter, and Mike was on that show, and I just really enjoyed, to me he was the highlight of the show. I just really liked what he was doing, and so after it was over, we started emailing, and I said, I sure like what you do. It'd be fun to get together sometime. And Mike is from Mississippi, and he does a lot of blues stuff, and I always felt like the Dobro fit real natural into blues music, and I always felt like it'd be fun to play on some of his songs. And so we've gotten together a few times, and then this opportunity opened up to come up here, and I called him, and Mike was here last year, actually. I guess he did a great job. He and David Long were up here. So I said, I know you just did it last year, but would you like to go back? And he said, you bet. So that's how this kind of came about. But this is our first performance together tomorrow night, so looking forward to it.
Now, have you decided what you'd like to play for us first here for our radio audience?
Yeah, I was thinking we'd do an old-time fiddle tune. Well, I guess it was a Stephen Foster song originally, but... Mike plays within a band called Nashville Bluegrass Band, and there's a great fiddler in that band called Stuart Duncan. And that's where I first heard this song, was your all's version of it. It's called Angeline the Baker. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Well, that was fun.
Oh,
huh?
Man.
I don't know about you, Bob, but my foot was moving pretty fast.
Everything I got was moving pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but you know, another coup for the Roadhouse, Buck, because as opposed to tomorrow night down at Lutzen Resort, the very first time that our guests played together was here on the Roadhouse.
That's right.
So pretty cool.
I think it's probably the first time that Mike has been playing when somebody stepped on his foot, too. So.
No, not really. Well, all sorts of things.
We'll do that here. Yeah. We'll do that.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen here. Well, that was just great. You know, you guys, it seems like bluegrass music plays at a certain tempo, and I was noticing it on that song. And can you talk about that at all?
Well, it doesn't, I don't think. I mean, it's got a lot of different feelings, you know, in bluegrass, and it's fun to work with Mike. I mean, he's probably more in tune with you know, Bill Monroe and that stuff, and I was really into Tony Rice, you know, when I started playing. So it's fun to. Mike knows those harmonies and stuff that to me are more like real, you know, roots bluegrass. So it's fun to play with him. But no, I mean, I think I know what you're saying. You might think bluegrass is always up tempo or something.
And that one was.
Yeah, and that wasn't even up tempo, I'll tell
you. Okay, yeah.
That was medium.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, and the music is known for its energy, and that was the thing that Earl Scruggs and Bill Monroe brought to the music was tempo. You're right. I mean, that was one of the many things, but they were like an old-time band that could really, that was one of the things they did is they brought these up-tempo things that people had never heard a banjo played that fast before or a mandolin. So yes, I mean, you're right. Well, we'll do a slow one here before the night's over, and you'll see.
Yeah.
Some of it's the energy level, I think, that's involved, or just the way that the melodies are played. You can play a song pretty fast without making it seem fast or sound really fast. This just depends on the way you attack it. You know, there are old times players, there were plenty of tunes that were really fast, but... It's not the general rule. There's a lot of sad songs in there that aren't gut-wrenchingly slow and painful.
Well, I know, just judging from what you said right after the introductions, Mike, about your mandolin, being from Mississippi, you probably had to play fast with the sissy instrument you've got.
So. Make up for
that. Oh, it's just a competitive thing, you know. Uh-huh. Leg pulling is a strong and active art in the South, as it is up here.
Now, Rob, I know both of you guys had musical families or musical traditions in your families. Rob, can you talk a little bit about that and whether that, how that led to what you play now?
Yeah,
or if it did.
Well, I was fortunate that my grandparents were really involved in music, and my grandpa's family was from North Dakota and Minnesota, actually, the Thompsons. I think he grew up around the Devil's Lake area.
Oh, really? Devil's Track Lake? Oh, Devil's Lake area in North Dakota.
Yeah,
okay.
And so everybody in my grandpa's family played music, mainly fiddles, but banjo and guitars, and so whenever the family got together, there was a lot of music going on, and they would dance, and then, I mean, they would play, and everybody would dance, and you know, there was just, you had a big band just among the family, my grandpa's family, which was neat. But when I got a little older, my brother started playing banjo, and so I started listening to bluegrass when he brought Flat Scruggs records home and Jimmy Martin, and then I heard a dobro when I was 13 and just freaked me out. I just, you know, loved it, and I started playing. I've been pretty much doing the same thing ever since, so... But yeah, my grandma would have they would have a jam session every Thursday night, and she would have a bunch of fiddle players and guitar players over at their house. And so, you know, when I was a kid, I thought, oh, everybody's grandpa plays the fiddle.
Yeah.
But now I know that's not true. So now how special it was, you know. But I was fortunate that I had a lot of music, you know, not really professional like on the road, but there was a lot of music around my house and my grandparents' house. Yeah.
Was that similar for you, Mike, down in Mississippi?
There were a few old guys around that played string band stuff. But really, my my family, there was not really in my immediate family, we weren't big talkers either. have trouble pronouncing my words. My great grandfather on my grandmother's side was a fiddle player, but there was really nobody in the Compton side that played anything until I came along. I think on my mother's side, some of her father played guitar, and he played with some of the local players around, but really, that was all there was.
I know what I listened to when I was young, and I always think of somebody that plays other types of music, and I said, weren't you guys listening to the Beatles? I mean, what was going on here? Mm-hmm. But you guys had way different influences that were...
Well, I'm quite a bit older than Rob, too.
Not that much. But, you know, I like bluegrass. I think what appealed to me and when I first heard it and what still appeals to me is the variety within it. I mean, you got these great vocal things going on. And then there's this influx of the blues, you know, that's a big part of the music. And then the fiddle tunes come from more like a British Isles, you know, almost a classical with a bunch of notes, you know, kind of tradition. And then Earl Scruggs did what he did on the banjo, you know, which was totally amazing. So I like that mixture. I feel like, and Bill Monroe said this one time, he said, if you can play bluegrass well, you can play a lot of different music well. And I think that's true because we just listened to Miles Davis on the way up here. You know, I like a lot of jazz and blues and electric guitar and it's fun to hear the commonalities between a lot of different musics. It's a great music form.
We're speaking with Rob Ikes and Mike Compton. They're going to be playing down at Lutzen Resort this weekend. You're also having some seminars down there, aren't you? You're having...
Rob is.
Yeah.
Rob is. Okay.
Yeah, I'm teaching tomorrow most of the day. And so I assume that's still open. I don't know, but I think they said they've got a huge turnout this year, which is great. So, yeah. But I'll be teaching all day, and then Mike and I will play a concert tomorrow night, I think 8 o'clock, but I'm not positive. Maybe you have the info.
Yeah, I've got it here. We'll go over it again before we go away at 7 o'clock, but... big event down at Lutzen Resort all weekend. Have you guys got something else in mind to play?
Sure. Yeah. You want to do the blues? We could slow it down. And again, Mike's from Mississippi, and I love his take on bluegrass and the mandolin. It's a little more roots and blues oriented than most. So
this is a Leroy Carr song, actually. So. You know, Del McCurry does one of their songs, his songs, used to in their set. How long has that evening train been gone? How long blues? This is another one of his. It's called Midnight Hour. Let me get this microphone down here so I don't scream in it.
do you worry me? Why do you stay so long? Blues, why do you worry me? Why do you stay so long? Oh, you came to me yesterday and you've been with me all night long.
That was wonderful.
It kind of put me back on the farm in Mississippi all of a sudden.
You'll do that to you.
Yeah.
We don't have much more than about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I think we got to go after that.
Oh, that's extra.
That's extra.
Say, Buck, I just have one question,
if you don't mind.
Rob, you said you, or maybe Buck mentioned that you'd played. I can't see you, Rob. The computer screen's in the way. You've played with Alison Krauss.
Yeah. I'm from California originally, and when I was living out there, I think it was around 1990, she hired me to come play on a record she was producing by a great band from Louisiana called the Cox Family. Mm-hmm. And I had been thinking about moving to Nashville for a while, and that was such a great trip, and the music was so great, and I just loved the whole area that I moved out about a year later, and played on some other stuff and went on the road a little bit with them when I first moved to town. So that was a great experience. She's a fabulous artist.
I don't know if you've seen her lately. I'm just wondering if she's asked about me.
Yes. No and yes.
you know, both these guys, Bob, have played with so many talented people. I was just amazed when I was reading, you know, your websites and looking at all those great people. And one of the things I was wondering about is if you guys have favorites that you really enjoyed playing with, or you know, we talked Alison Krauss, of course, is Bob's favorite. He hasn't played with her yet, but who knows, you know, like Reba McEntire I see in there, and Willie Nelson, and, you know, Dolly Parton, and all these folks that you guys have played with. Can you touch on that at all? Mike, do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, goodness. I got to do...
I don't think they're listening, so you could, you know, feel free to...
I got to do a short session the other night with Willie. I'd never done that before, and that was really cool, and he can still really sing.
Yeah.
Gosh, I've got to do some work with Emmylou Harris, and that was really cool, being able to share the stage with her. Some with Ralph Stanley. I never thought I would be a Clinch Mountain boy, but there it was. A lot of this stuff came through T-Bone Burnett.
Really?
I did a lot of work this summer with Elvis Costello.
and
some of these people I wouldn't connect together,
no,
like T-Bone and some of the other artists.
But they're all very interested and enthusiastic about folk musics. Mm-hmm. Not just one type in particular. They listen to it and they're very well versed and they explore it, the sounds in it, and sing a lot of the songs there. I've enjoyed working with almost everybody that I've worked with.
Excepting, of course.
Well,
yeah.
Rob scares me because he's so good. I feel like I'm playing catch-up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite guy next to Mike that I've worked with is, I got to work with Merle Haggard some years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I've just been a fan of his, you know, for a long time, and his music always meant a lot to me. And I don't know if, you know, because I'm from California too, and I like his music. I mean, he touches a lot of different stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got the blues and the western swing and the country and jazz. I mean, he can really do it all. And he did a bluegrass record in Nashville a couple years ago that I was fortunate enough to play on, and then he invited me to come out to his place in California a few months later, and went out there for two trips and did some recording, and it was just so fun. And you know, it just, he's one of those guys that you know, we're talking about people that make you play better, or just, mm-hmm. it's almost like you just get close to him and it kind of rubs off, you know. And so that was a fascinating, you know, that was the coolest thing. I mean, just because I've listened, I just love his music so much. There's something real pure about what he does. Yeah. That is real deep. That was fun to be close to.
We got time for another tune. Have you guys got another one in mind?
Sure. I don't know, you want to do Wheelhouse or?
Okay.
Here's we'll leave you with a Bill Monroe tune. And this is, I think, one of the coolest songs ever. Bill didn't have a dobro in his band, and I don't even think he really liked dobros that much, but I like to learn a lot of his songs. He was a great writer of instrumentals and vocals, but this is an instrumental he wrote called The Wheelhouse. Thank you.
You know, Bob, this is so much fun, I think I'd do this for nothing. We were watching some fingers flying there.
Those instruments must have heated up.
Yeah.
In that one. That
That's
was great.
Sure.
It all's been great.
Pretty good for after an all-day.
Yeah, I guess.
I saw Mike stretching out his fingers and stuff before they sat down to play, and it's got to be a little struggle sometimes.
It is.
Mm-hmm. We'll send that out to Southwest Airlines for
you.
There you go.
There you go. Well, you guys are going to be down, as I mentioned, in Lutzen all weekend, and there's going to be seminars that you'll be teaching, and I believe that folks can get more information by either calling Lutzen Resort or going online. It's www.lutzenresort.com to get that information. Also, there's a concert on Saturday night. I don't have the time either on our information. It said concert Saturday night. There again, Lutzen Resort will have that information as to when you're starting and what tickets are, how many are available yet, and all that stuff is available.
And they said they've had great advanced sales or whatever, so you might want to call
before you drive down.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Be sure that you can get in there. We had a concert right here.
We sure did. It was wonderful.
That was,
thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, that was Rob Ikes and Mike Compton joining us here tonight. They're going to be down, as I mentioned, at Lutzen Resort all weekend for international, I don't know if that's international, at least it's a Bluegrass Masters. That's one question that we haven't answered, and maybe we have time for that, is what constitutes a Masters event?
As opposed to I've done, so I don't know.
Okay, Mike, do you know anything about it? Why do they call it a Masters event?
I don't know.
Is it because
they typically get somebody, and for this gig, you know, an instrumentalist who really knows, you know, what's going on with the instrument, is my understanding.
Knows his stuff.
And well, I can see why they invited those guys.
I can see that too.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.